as we come to this time this morning, we're going to be talking about something that's challenging for most, if not all of us. And that's the words that come from our mouth, realizing the impact they have on us, on those around us, on the kingdom. And so, Lord, as we think about that, I'm led to speak as you have taught us to pray to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be looking at Numbers, not just the few verses that Brandon read, but throughout Numbers chapter 11. Well, according to the Farmer's Almanac, dog days of summer are July 3rd through August 11th. Lots of people have heard the phrase, but few really know the history or the original meaning. It goes back to the Greeks and Romans. The dog days occurred around the days that Sirius, which was a constellation of stars, appeared to rise before the sun. The Greeks and Romans referred to these days as the hottest times of the year, a period that could bring fever and even catastrophe. Well, when it's all said and done, to us, the phrase refers to the torturous, unbearable summer days when the air is thick with heat. On these days, we often feel like doing nothing but sitting somewhere in the air conditioner. I've chosen to relate this to our spiritual journey. All of us on occasion go through what I would call a spiritual slump. Much like the dog days of summer when we feel like throwing in the sweaty towel and doing nothing. For the next few weeks, we're considering how to avoid the summertime spiritual slump. I want to start off by asking a question. Actually, I'm going to ask you to do something, and don't lie to me. I'm a preacher. Raise your hand if you have complained about the heat in the past week. All right, there aren't too many people not telling the truth. Great, then you've come to the right place this morning. In a nutshell, what was the meaning of the scripture Brandon read this morning? I think it can be summed up in two words. Quit complaining. Now, do you think God is really annoyed with all of us for complaining about the heat this week? It may not be the most Christian characteristic we express, but I don't believe it's going to cause God to consider throwing fire down on us right now. In Scripture today, there's more to the story than just a little whine. The way the Israelites were complaining in the Scripture we read today, if you look at the full context of the Scriptures around it, it's a reflection of their relationship with God or their lack of a relationship with God. This is why God becomes angry. God has provided for them over and over again and proved himself many times since freeing them from the Egyptians. Now let me ask you, if God brought fire on you because of your complaining and unwillingness to trust him, would it cause you to adjust your attitude? You might want to think about that. It may not have come in forms of fire, but my guess is God's brought some things into our life to cause us to think about our complaining. And I'm wondering if there's ever a time we just keep on complaining. You know, the Israelites did. Look at the next verse. The very next verse, if you've got it open to verse 4, this is what it says. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this man. The people of Israel have been miraculously receiving bread provided for them every day. And they were complaining about it. They were complaining about the miracle God was doing right before them. We ever do that? I want us to think about the whole idea of complaining for a moment. Have you ever had someone complain about you, how you did something or how you did not do something? I'm pretty sure we all have. Have you ever found out that they were complaining to others about you and not saying anything at all to you about it? That ever happened to you? Now let me ask a harder question. Have you ever complained about anybody else? How much good comes from that? If that person was able and willing to have an open, respectful dialogue with you, would there be an opportunity for a better outcome? I believe the same is true with God. I've preached numerous times that God is big enough to handle our anger, our frustration, our disappointment. He wants us to bring all of that to Him. The issue comes when we cut off our relationship with God and choose to just complain for the sake of complaining. If we know God and believe in God, why would we not talk to Him about the frustrations in our life? I want you to look, if you've got your Bibles there, to Numbers 11, verse 23. I'll set this up for you. God had told Moses that He was going to provide the complaining Israelites with the meat they were asking for. But not just for one, not just for two, and not just for three, but for a month. Not for 3 days, but for a month. Moses said, how? How can you do this? Even if there was a whole herd, a whole flock. Not flock, you know, flock. A whole herd of cattle. It wouldn't be enough. How are you going to do it, God? In verse 23, this is what God says. Is the Lord's arm too short? Now will you see whether or not what I say will come true for you? We need to learn to trust God. This comes through relationship. This may be the most pertinent question that I ask this morning. How is your relationship with God right now? You don't need to answer it for me, but I want you to think about it. How is your relationship with God? If you think back on your life, I expect you will agree that the times you were closer to God, truly in relationship with God, you were less likely to be complaining. Even if you weren't in a good place, if you had a good relationship with God at that moment, I expect you were less likely to complain. Daily scripture reading and prayer are the foundations for such a relationship. If you struggle with reading the Bible, we're not going to take time to talk about all of that today, but I invite you to come have a conversation with me. There are many tools that are accessible that help us connect today to the scripture. The scripture itself is inspired by the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is a part of this. And sometimes there can be things that distract us and become barriers, and they don't need to be. I can help you with that. But what you need to hear isn't what comes from me. You need to hear the Bible. You need to know what God says through His Word and how the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And it is not that difficult. Secondly, if you struggle with prayer, and prayer just simply needs to be communication with God. And communication means both talking and listening. But if you struggle with that, I want to suggest today, and a lot of times I suggest something different, but today I want to suggest that you start with the Lord's Prayer. But I want to tell you something. Please, please, do more than just recite the Lord's Prayer. There are people that have told me that they would love it if we would just say the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. The Lord's Prayer is very sacred to me. It's so sacred, and maybe it's because of experiences I have, and that's my issue. But there are people I've known that have said the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over and over again and have no clue what it means and don't really care what it means. It just makes them feel good to say the words. And that's not what the Lord's Prayer is about. So let's look at the Lord's Prayer today. Just briefly. Then I want you to consider making the Lord's Prayer a part of your daily time with God. Maybe just for a week and see how it goes. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If we begin our day by simply acknowledging the presence of God, his mightiness, his power, his awesomeness, and knowing that he's in our presence and that he's with us, does that not make a difference in the rest of your day? How often do you just feel the burdens and you have to deal with it and it's all on you? That's because we make it about us. The God of the universe is walking beside us. And there is nothing that he can't snap his finger and take care of if he chooses to. Yet we choose to say it's all about us and we have to deal with this. And this is our problem. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to remember that God has a plan. We pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You got care of everything up there in heaven, God. Just fix everything down here too. That song, I don't know how many of you just know it, but that song, Do Something, that Christy was alluding to, that I think the praise team may do later at some point, basically says that God, I want you to do something about this. And God said, I did. I created you. And so when we see the challenges, when we see the issues, when we get frustrated, God can take that and use that to inspire us and encourage us to do something that's a part of his will and what he desires us to do. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm wondering how the Israelites would have prayed this part after having all that manna. But you see, give us this day our daily bread isn't just about bread. It isn't just about food. This is a part of the prayer that when you pray it, and when you go through and say this prayer, we need to pause. And we need to have conversations about each part of this. And the part that talks about our daily bread is basically our needs, our wants, our desires, any of that. God wants us to talk about every bit of it. I don't care whether it's that your need is that you've got to pay electric bill or your electricity's going to be cut off, or you want a new garage that your wife doesn't think you need. I don't care which side it's on. God wants us to talk to him about every bit of that. And when you're talking about that and when you're asking God and when you're having that kind of conversation, that's not complaining. That's not the complaining we're talking about today. The complaining the Israelites did were just basically, they're going to Moses and say, I'm fed up with it and I don't care what God said. I don't care what God's done. I'm just sick and tired of it. That's complaining. But when we have the conversations with God, even our frustration, even our anger, God can deal with that, but he wants us in relationship with him. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we truly follow through on this part of the Lord's Prayer, how much of our complaining is just going to be taken care of? Forgive us as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If we pray this every morning, you will remember it when you face that temptation later in the day. You will be less likely just to fall into it. And now you're in a position, if you've prayed that and you've been it, God is with you. God's not going to leave you. And when you get to a point that you have to make a decision, it's not just going to be the default that you're going to do something and then have to say, whoops, I messed up, I felt sorry for it. There's going to be a conviction there, and you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to follow God's will, or am I going to turn away from it? And And sometimes we don't want to have to make that choice. It's just easier to say, oops. But if you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're asking for something different. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Be reminded that there's a big picture. It's not all about us. We are allowed the privilege of being part of the bigger picture of God's design, and it's a beautiful thing that too often we take for granted. I want to talk about God's grace and mercy for a moment. You see, I said that the people of Israel had opportunity that they had seen and been a part, and God had taken care of them. So I want to share a few of those, a couple of them. One comes from Exodus chapter 15, beginning with verse 24. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. So they complained. It said they were grumbling. They were complaining about not having water to drink. And in this case, God provided for them. Not only did He provide for them, He said, "I'm providing the water, but this is how I take care of you." And then where did they get to hang out? They got to hang out by the water under palm trees. God provided for them. He had grace and mercy in the midst of their grumbling. He does the same for us. Exodus 16, the next chapter after 15 that I just read, starting with verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us to this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this day I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." You know what the Egyptians were saying? "Remember the good old days when we were slaves back in Egypt?" No, when we look back at the good old days, they're always better than the days now. But somehow or another we forget that there were struggles and challenges and things that people grumbled about then too. We're really talking about the good old days because we're complaining about what we're going through right now. And that's exactly what the Israelites were doing. "Yeah, God freed us. Yeah, we don't have it, but I ain't got nothing to eat right now and I'm hungry." And we think that sounds ludicrous. But we do the same thing. God has provided for every person in this room, including me, over and over and over again. Yet we still find a place to complain and say life isn't fair. It shouldn't be this way. Why doesn't God fix it? Doesn't God care about me? Israelites, I'm sure, said, "If God cared about us, He'd give me something to eat." It's difficult. I'm not saying that it's easy to do what I'm talking about in terms of not complaining. It's difficult. But it's about relationship and it's about trust. The church we went to last Sunday, a lady gave a testimony, and she was basically answering a question of, what do you do when you feel like you're following God's will, but everything falls apart? Anybody here ever been there? You think you're doing, you're trying the best you can to do what God wants you to, but things just fall apart, and you say, "Well, God, what do I do now?" And you get frustrated and aggravated. Well, this happened to this lady. She was a single mom, two children. And she was struggling to make ends meet. She was trying to involve God in everything that was going on. And sure enough, she ended up finding a job. A good job. A good paying job. That worked really well with the schedule with her two children. And she did well for about a year. And then all of a sudden, one day, she gets a message that she's being laid off. No fault of her own. They just don't have a position for her anymore. Effective immediately. She said all she could do was just fall down and cry to God. Why? Why, God? I looked for this. And you were a part of this. And I've been obedient all throughout what I've done. Why? Why is it taken from me? But she continued and sought out a job, found one, and was able to have enough to at least keep her home and again make ends meet. But it was nothing like what she had before. And A month after she was let go, the FBI raided the place she had been working and dismantled the entire operation. And several people there got in a lot of trouble. But she was no longer a part. She hadn't been a part of anything wrong. But if she had been there at that time, there would have been a lot for her to answer, a lot for her to struggle, a lot for her to deal with. So she fell down on her knees again. And she thanked her God for the blessing that didn't seem like a blessing at all. That's what it means to trust God. Now, does that mean that when she lost her job, that she didn't have a right to go to God and say, why? No. God wanted her to come to Him and say why. God knew that He needed her, that she needed Him more than she ever had. And that's where she went, and God took care of her, and God will do the same for us. But if we simply choose to complain, and by complaining, I mean separate ourselves from God just so we can complain instead of seeking Him, it's not going to help us at all. It breaks God's heart. God will show Himself to us. God will hear us if we speak to Him. But there comes a point when we must respond. We must do something. We must quit complaining and respond through our faithful relationship with God. God doesn't desire to bring down fire or judgment on His people, but He loves us so much He will use such measures to encourage us to move back to the path that saves us from eternal fire and eternal damnation. That's why He does it, because of the love that He has for us. And He's directing us back to a path. How are you going to embrace the dog days of summer? It's been hot this past. It's been as hot as I can ever remember. That's just because I'm a young guy. But you've gotten a real idea of what it's been like to struggle with that. And when you get hot, did you see anybody this week? And this isn't complaining. I'm just asking for it. You see anybody this week that got hot and cranky? The heat just affected their attitude? That happened? Well, the same can happen in our spiritual life. We get to points that we just want to give up. And when that happens, complaining becomes a part of what we do. And then it just feeds it, and we get further and further away from God, and further away from understanding what God wants, and further away from being able to see what God is doing around us. Because I promise you, it said in that song, Count Your Blessings, God gives you blessings every day. Sometimes they don't look like the blessings, just like that woman losing her job didn't look like a blessing at the time. But I promise you, God is blessing you every single day. And if you trust Him and you pray about it and you're in communication with Him, things will come clear to you in the time God desires them to. So I ask you, what are you going to do with the dog days of summer in your spiritual life? I want you to think as we close. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. Where are your buttons that people push? People know how to do it. People in your family, people at work. People don't even know you that well. You know the things that make you go off. You know the things that make you complain. You know the things that tick you off. I want you to acknowledge those right now, not to me, but to yourself and to God. And I want you to think seriously about this week, anticipating those things coming and not letting them have control of you, but giving God more control of your life than those buttons that people like to push. And you know what? It just might be fun to see somebody push one of your buttons and you just look at them and smile, because they won't know what to do. And you know what? I bet it makes your day better. It just might make a day better of others around us. And Scripture says that you, in doing that, will become a light to others. You will convey joy in a world where it's difficult to find joy. How are you going to choose to embrace the dog days of summer? Let's stand together and sing hymn number 644.
Thank you.
Christy asked me after I'd come over to the church this morning and prayed and spent some time going through my notes, and I went back home and got there, and Christy said, "How are you doing this morning?" I said, "Good." She said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." So she didn't seem quite convinced, and I said, "Well, I'm preaching a sermon on complaining today." She said, "Well, are you feeling bad because you can't tell me what's wrong?" I said, "No." I said, "It's not an easy sermon. It's not an easy sermon to preach, and it's not an easy sermon to hear." And I shared what I feel God's placed on my heart. And what you hear and what you receive is between you and God. There might be a human tendency for someone to think, "Well, what can I say to Greg now? Every time I say something, he's going to think I'm complaining." Don't worry about that. Have the conversations you've always had with me. But if you think it's complaining, then promise me you're going to have a conversation with God. That's all I'm asking. Doesn't need to change your relationship with me. I want your relationship with God changed, if that's what God wants, what you need. Lord, thank you for this time that we've had to come to this place to worship you. And Lord, I pray that's what has happened. I know that your Spirit